Okay, we've dodged this one for, what, half a year? Every time we talk about a model doing long work, we end up circling back to state management, like it's the attic door we keep pretending is normal. And today feels like the day we finally stop doing that.
Yeah, because it's one of those concepts that sounds boring until you realize it's doing half the job. The model isn't just being smart token by token, it's also trying not to be stupidly repetitive about its own past work.
That is such an exploring next move, honestly. We keep making the hidden plumbing the main character. But I think people hear state management and think enterprise dashboard nonsense, when it's really just, how does the model remember what it already figured out without starting from zero every breath?
Exactly. Picture someone reading a book with sticky notes on the pages they already care about. If they need to answer a question on page 80, they do not reread pages 1 through 79 every time. They look at the notes, jump to the relevant bits, and keep moving.
Right, and in model land, that's the difference between a chatbot that feels snappy and one that feels like it's dragging a cart uphill. So the model is still generating one token at a time, but it's not recomputing the whole universe on each token.
Mm-hmm. And the thing to keep straight is that this is about inference, meaning the model is already trained. We're not changing the learned weights. We're just running the trained model in a way that reuses internal work instead of throwing it away.
Okay, before we go too far, what exactly is the thing being reused? Because I can already hear the listener going, wait, reused how? Like text?
It's the internal representations. In a recurrent neural network, which is a model that processes a sequence by carrying information forward step by step, that carried forward info is often called hidden state. Hidden state is just the model's running memory of what it's seen so far.
Okay, so hidden state is the running memory. That part actually helps. And sequence modeling is just a broader job of handling ordered stuff, right? Words, code, whatever comes one after another.
Yeah, sequence modeling means the model is working on things where order matters, not just a pile of independent items. So if you're generating text, the next word depends on the words before it, and the model needs some way to keep track of that history without redoing the whole history every time.
And that's the note-taking trick. The model keeps a compact record of the past, and when the next token shows up, it uses that record instead of reading the whole book again. I mean, that alone already sounds like the difference between something shippable and something that melts down.
Sure, but the mechanism matters. In transformer models, which are the architecture behind most modern language models, attention is the part that lets each token look back at earlier tokens and decide what matters. The key value cache stores the important bits from that attention process so the model doesn't have to rebuild them from scratch each step.
Wait, key value cache? That sounds like the part where you lose everyone. Can you make that human-sized?
Yeah. Think of keys as labels for what a past token is about, and values as the actual content you want to reuse. When the model asks, what from the past matters now, it compares the current token's query against those stored keys and pulls the matching values. The cache is just the pile of those saved keys and values.
Ah. So it's not caching the whole sentence as text. It's caching the model's own compressed way of looking at the sentence. That's much less mystical, and also much more annoying in the way that GPU memory always is.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where the compute trade-off shows up. Without caching, if you generate a 100 token answer, you're effectively doing a full pass over the growing history again and again. With caching, each new token only has to process itself and look up what came before.
So the naive version grows painfully fast because the model keeps rereading its own past. The cached version is still doing work, but it's not doing the same work 100 times. That feels like the whole reason chat actually feels interactive, instead of like batch processing from hell.
That's the user story, yep, and it's why state management shows up in every deployed LLM system, whether people talk about it or not. OpenAI's products, Anthropic systems, open source serving stacks like VLLM, they all need some version of this, or the whole thing gets too slow to use.
Right, and we've already bumped into this in different costumes. ChatGPT work was basically a reminder that the product is not just weights, it's context, plus tools, plus output shaping, plus the loop around it. State is one of the reasons any of that feels
And the reason I keep being annoying about this is that people sometimes talk like the model is just remembering in a human sense. It isn't. The state is a runtime artifact. The learned weights are fixed during generation, and the state is the stuff we preserve while the model is stepping forward token by token.
Okay, so the model has its brain, and then it has a working desk. The brain is the weights. The working desk is the cash. And the desk is what gets messy if you let the conversation get long.
That's a decent way to put it. Maybe the desk is the better analogy than the notes, because now we can talk about what happens when the desk gets too full. The more history you cache, the more memory you burn. So you save compute, but you spend memory.
And memory is the bill nobody wants to pay until the server is already sweating. That's the part I think product people miss. They see a faster response and assume the magic is free, when really the system is moving the cost somewhere else.
Exactly. The cost moves from compute to memory, and that matters a lot in production. If you have multiple users at once, each conversation needs its own cache. So suddenly the question is not just is the model accurate, it's how many sessions can I keep alive before the GPU fills up.
Mm-hmm. So this is where serving becomes a scheduling problem, not just a model problem. That is very on brand for us, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. And it's why people building serving engines care about things like prefix caching and continuous batching. Prefix caching means if two requests share the same prompt prefix, you can reuse that cached work. Continuous batching means the server keeps mixing incoming requests.
Okay, that's already one of those things that sounds abstract until you picture a real product. Like if you've got a team using a shared assistant or a company workflow with the same template over and over, prefix caching is basically refusing to do the same homework twice.
Yes, and that's why it's so practical. VLLM made a name for itself partly because it made those serving tricks feel real and usable, not just theoretical. People talk about it like it's one optimization, but it's really a bunch of memory management choices that let the model serve more traffic without collapsing.
And this is where I want to pull in that LLM orchestration comparison we looked at, because the framework itself is not the point. The point is that once you're shipping, you're managing context, retries, buffers, and state whether you call it orchestration or not.
Right. The labels differ, but the pain is the same. The system has to know what already happened, what can be reused, and what has to stay isolated. That's state management wearing different hats.
Okay, let me slow us down a notch because I think the listener is probably at the exact point where this splits into I get the vibe and I need the mechanism. So how does a transformer actually use the cache while it's generating?
Good. In a transformer, each new token is turned into an internal vector. Then attention compares that vector against the stored keys from earlier tokens. The matching values are combined into a fresh representation for the current step. The cache is what lets the model skip recomputing those older keys and values every time.
So when token 37 comes in, it doesn't ask the model to rerun tokens 1 through 36 from scratch. It says, I already have the useful summaries from those.
Yep. And if you want the cleanest contrast, think about a model without this kind of state handling. Every new token would force a growing amount of repeated work. The cached version still grows in cost as the history gets longer, but much more gently. That's why the scaling story matters.
Much more gently is doing a lot of work there. Because the whole reason people care is that the difference between workable and unusable can be just that curve shape. If the curve is ugly enough, your product is dead before anyone argues about benchmark scores.
Exactly. And this is where I want to bring in the old systems versus newer systems distinction. Recurrent neural networks also had a form of state, but it was baked into the recurrence itself. Transformers externalize the useful history into the cache, which gives them a different memory compute profile.
Wait, so RNNs carry state through the chain, and transformers cache state around attention? That's the rough contrast?
That's the rough contrast. Recurrent models pass a hidden state forward through time. Transformers keep a cache of past keys and values. Same broad goal, different machinery.
Got it. And hidden state plus activation, just to say it plainly, is basically the internal working signal the model uses at a given step. Not the output text, not the weights, but the current live representation.
Yes, activation is the model's current firing pattern at a layer, and hidden state is the stateful summary carried between steps and architectures that use it that way. That's why the terminology gets slippery. People use state loosely, but here we're talking about the runtime information the model preserves so it can continue coherently.
Okay, I'm going to do the annoying product person thing for a second. If this is so core, why doesn't every
Because memory is finite and expensive. If you cache every token from a very long generation, the state itself becomes the bottleneck. A 10,000 token document can put serious pressure on memory even when caching is working perfectly. So there's a real ceiling, and systems have to decide what to keep, what to drop, and what to compress.
That's the bit that makes it feel less like a neat trick and more like actual engineering, which, to be fair, is usually where the interesting stuff is. The model says, sure, I can remember all this. And then the server says, not on my watch.
Exactly. So people use variants. Full caching means keep everything. Sliding window caching means keep only the recent tokens that are most likely to matter. Sparse attention patterns mean the model doesn't even try to look at everything equally, so it can cache and attend more selectively.
So it's basically different levels of thrift. Full memory if you can afford it, selective memory if you can't, and a moving window if the older stuff probably doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, and each choice changes the product shape. If you're doing long chat sessions or document work, you care about retaining enough history that the user doesn't feel amnesia. If you're doing short interactive turns, a smaller window might be totally fine. This is why state management is not one thing. It's a bundle of policies.
That's the part I like. It's not some abstract ivory tower feature. It's the stuff that decides whether a tool feels like it remembers the conversation.
And that's why the examples matter. When we looked at Anthropic's Claude coworker on the phone, the whole promise depended on continuity. Same with ChatGPT work. The product is trying to preserve context long enough that the user doesn't have to keep rebuilding the situation from scratch. Good luck with that. You're still going to make it sound like a product win, and I'm still going to complain about the memory bill.
Fair. That's the show, unfortunately.